In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I am glad to be with you today. May the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to the setting, may the name of the Lord be praised, because he is worthy. He is worthy. I'm looking at Ezekiel, and I'm looking at Ezekiel 36, and it says, "For lo, I am for you. I will turn to you, and you shall be plowed and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the ruinous places shall be repaired. And I will make you abound with men and with beasts, and they shall be multiplied and increased. And I will settle you as from the beginning, and I will give you greater gifts than you had from the beginning, and you shall know that I am the Lord." My Lord, what a promise. What promises that we hear in Ezekiel 36. Let's start again. "But as for you, lo, I am for you." Now this is so basic, but people don't believe it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Okay? If the Lord is for you, who can be against you? Do you know what St. Teresa of Avila said? "The Lord and I make a majority." The Lord says, "I am for you." And if God be for you, who can be against you? Okay, you've got people that are against you, so don't I, okay? Oh yeah, I've got people that are against you. But you know what? In order for them to get to me, they've got to go through him. In order for them to get to me, they first have to get through him. Why? Because God is for me. And what else does it say? "And I will turn to you." That means he's going to turn his face to you. That means his back is against your enemies. His back is against your enemies. But his face is turned to you. "And you shall be plowed and sown." That means that God is going to plant within you his mercy, his love, his provision. Yes, his provision. You have to believe that. That God is going to plant in you his mercy, his love, and his provision. Now, it might be a little difficult for him to plow, because it hurts to be plowed. But he's going to plant, honest, his provision, because it says, "And I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, and the cities shall be inhabited, and ruinous places shall be repaired." Ruinous places shall be repaired. That which in your life seemed completely destroyed, ruinous places shall be repaired. Why? Because I am for you. And why? Because I turn to you. Ruinous places shall be restored. You might not believe that, okay? You might not believe that, but you know what? It's true anyway. It's true. Ruinous places shall be repaired. Next line, verse 11. "I will make you abound with men and with beasts." In other words, he's going to give you favor with men. And he's going to give you provision. Beasts, he's talking about sheep, he's talking about cattle for those people. But for us, we don't need cattle. We need what we need to get by. "I will make you abound," abound. Not just get by, abound with men and with beasts, "that they shall be multiplied and increased." Why? Why? "Because I am for you. And I turn to you." My face turns to you. "And I will settle you as from the beginning, and I will give you greater gifts." My Lord. You know, when things are really bad, and you read something like that, you say, can that be true? Can that be true? That God is going to give me greater gifts doesn't seem that way. Everything's so dark. Everything's coming down upon me. But his promise is, I will give you greater gifts. And you must always remember that the gifts that the Lord gives are not for ourselves alone. See, that's where people make mistakes. We think that the gifts that God gives are for me, but they are not for me alone. Oh, yes, they're for me, but they are to be shared and they are to be given out. So what does the scripture say? Freely you have received, freely give. You see, what do I have that is not a gift? What do I have that is not a gift? If I have anything, it's a gift that's been given to me. Freely you have been given. And then freely you give. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the way you're supposed to live. This is where I'm supposed to live. I will give you greater gifts than you had from the beginning, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know. That doesn't mean you shall think. That means you shall know. You shall know that you know. But it's all about trust. It's all about trusting in Him. It's all about believing. It's all about knowing that even in the darkest time, we're going to get through it because the people that walked in darkness have seen a wonderful light. Even when there are no stars in your sky, that the light of the world is there. And He's going to help you if you want help. This is real. And I will bring men upon you, my people Israel, and they shall possess thee for an inheritance. I will make you abound. I will make you abound. Okay, look at your lack right now. Look at your lack, okay? Look at all the things you lack. You lack a job. I know that's terrible. I know it's terrible. You lack provision. Okay, that's terrible. But the Lord says, I'm going to favor you. I'm going to look upon you. I'm going to make you abound. I'm going to give you greater gifts in the beginning. Do you believe it? Do you want to believe it? Do you want to believe Him? Him. It takes trust. It takes trust. It takes trust. We're probably in one of the most difficult economic problems that we've ever had in this nation since the Great Depression. They tell us that there's 10% unemployment. It's more like 20%. Food prices are going up. I know. I do the shopping. Food prices are going up. People are holding on to the little that they have. But see, I don't think about holding on to it. I think about how does God want me to spread it around? Because you know what? The Lord's promise is provision. The Lord's promise is provision. Because He says, I'm going to plow you and I'm going to plant. And the Lord's promise is provision. And I believe that. I will not tell you, send me $100 and God will give you $1,000. I'm not into it. Because I don't know what God's going to do, other than I do know, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over into the robes. I believe that. I live that, and I know that. And I know it to be true. But I don't have to threaten people. Send me this and God will send you that. No, I'm not into it. I'm not into it. I'm into saying, you know what? If this broadcast is a blessing, you help us. That's it. That's it. because the Lord is my provider. And I don't have to take anyone by the throat. I don't have to take anyone by the throat and say, I need this or I need that. I just need to be faithful. Faithful to the one who is faithful to me. That's all I need to be, is faithful. And he is my provider. He's for you, okay? He is for you today. No matter what you're going through, he is for you today and never against you. And if he be for you, even the devil can't do anything. He has his face toward you, not his back. His back is toward your enemies. You understand that? He has plans for you. And it's your job to start grasping his word and start believing his word and start depending upon his word. It's your job to start trusting him, even when you are between trapezes, okay? That's the most difficult time to trust God, when you're between trapezes. You've let go of one trapeze. And now, what's going to happen? Are you going to trust him that the next trapeze is going to come just in time? Oh, yeah. This thing of faith is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And for people say, this is simple, this is not an easy thing. Not an easy thing at all. Anyone who says the life of faith is easy, they're crazy. But I tell you, the life of faith is sure. It's not easy. It's sure, and it's supernatural. It's sure, and it's supernatural. The life of faith, it's not easy. Because the scripture says, even if I go through the dark valley, the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I'm going to tell you, when you go through the dark valley, the shadow of death, it's a not easy place to be. It's not easy. And anyone that says it's easy is a liar. And everyone at one time or another passes through the shadow of death. But the psalmist says, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult. It's difficult. But it's sure. It's sure. Trusting in him is as sure as this morning's sunrise. And you know what? This morning I saw the sunrise, even though I didn't see the sun. I saw it go from darkness to light, because someone woke me up at 6:15 this morning. Faith is more sure than the rising of the sun. Faith in Jesus Christ, not faith in your faith. I love it when people say, I have all the faith in the world. Give me a break. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the one who has promised to be faithful to me. My faith is in the one who says, I am for you. My faith is in the one who says, I turn to you. My faith is in the one who says, I plow you and plant and I provide new provisions. My faith is in the one who says, you're going to get greater gifts than the beginning. My faith is not in my faith. That's boring. My faith is in the one who promised. The one who made a covenant in his blood. Do you understand that? That's where my faith is. My faith is not in me or in my faith or even in the past. My faith is in God. My faith is in him. My faith is in his cross. I look to his cross for direction. I look to his blood for fulfillment. I look to him, not to my faith. And faith is sure. Faith is sure. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even if your mother should forsake you, I will never forsake you, says the Lord. For I have graven you on the palm of my hand. Even if you're like Elijah, saying, I'm the only prophet, and there are no other prophets around, and Jezebel is out to kill me, the Lord says, I am for you. And she's not going to have her way. You see, that's why the Word of God is so important. The Word of God is so important. Because the Word of God calls us to have faith and trust in the one who spoke this word, in the one who is this word. His name is Jesus. He's incarnate, the incarnate Word of God. That's where my faith is. It's not in anyone else. We heard yesterday Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, and this is very interesting because, you know, the scripture says Jesus, after the temptation scenes, goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, and he takes Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, and to proclaim a year of liberty to the captives, and a year of jubilee. Well, then he sat down and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. And you know, everybody in the synagogues that speak well about him. Oh, they all started to speak well about him until he said, Elijah was sent to the widow of Zarephath, a paganess, and Elisha healed a man called Naaman, the Syrian, a pagan. And now they want to throw him over the brow because he's talking about the favor of God toward pagans. Listen to this now. You see, if your faith is in people, you're going to be really messed up. You know why? Because one minute they think he's the best thing in the synagogue at Capernaum, or the synagogue at Nazareth, and the next minute they want to throw him over the brow of the hill. If your faith is in people, you can be disappointed. That doesn't mean you don't love people. It just means your ultimate faith is not in people. You know why? Because people are just people. You know what Catherine Kuhlman used to say? The best of men are men at best. That's all. That's all we are. The best of men are men at best. And we'll disappoint you. Even when we're not trying to disappoint you, we will. Your faith cannot be in what people think about you, because it will change. It will change. On Palm Sunday, they heralded Jesus as the King of Israel. They threw their cloaks down, their olive branches. Hosanna! 5 days later, they're crying out, crucify him. You see, Jesus did not count on the crowds. The scripture says Jesus knew men. And he knew the heart of men, and he did not trust himself to men. You see, people change. People change. People change. Oh, we're going to be praying right now. We're going to be praying right now. We're going to be praying right now for this beautiful child, Cameron. I want to pray for him. I'm going to get him on the phone right now, because you know what? This is a beautiful child, a beautiful child. We're going to pray for Cameron. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, your face is toward this beautiful child. Your faith is toward this beautiful child. Your faith is... I'm on the radio now, Chris. Your faith is toward this beautiful child. I'm asking people to pray right now for Cameron. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this beautiful child. We thank you and praise you that there's going to be a miracle. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you, your word says today that I am for you, Cameron. Your word says today that I look at you. Your word says today that you're going to provide. Your word says today that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with us. Your word says today, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Father, we pray together for this child that this would be a miracle, that this procedure would be a miraculous procedure, and that every bit of cancer be healed by the blood that was shed at Calvary, by the blood that was shed at Calvary. We pray, God, for provision, for you have promised provision today, and we pray for this beautiful child that you would heal him completely, that this child would grow up to be a young man, a man of God. Father, we pray with all the people who hear me today, all the mothers, all the fathers who have children, that they would cry out to heaven today for this child. Cry out to heaven that your provision, your grace, your healing be done in this beautiful little boy. We thank you and we praise you because you are God Almighty and that you never fail us. We thank you and we praise you that we don't depend upon the people that say this is going to happen. Or that we depend upon you, God, and your word. We depend that you have your hand on this child. We depend, Lord, that your provision is for this child. We depend that your healing is for this child. We depend on you, Jesus. We depend on you because you died, because you shed your blood for him, because you rose from the dead. We depend upon you for this child, Lord, that this child is healed by the blood of Jesus, that there be a miraculous intervention by the Holy Spirit, that anything the devil wrote against this child, canceled and nailed to the cross. And we declare healing in Jesus' name in his brain, healing and deliverance and love and peace and your presence in his family, Lord. We depend upon you, Lord. Because you know why? We have no one else to depend upon. You're the only one that can do it, Lord. We do not depend upon men, because men are just men. We do not depend upon even doctors, Lord. Just let them do the best they can. Let your hands guide their hands. But, Lord, we depend upon you. You are the ultimate one. You are the ultimate one, Lord. For this child, we depend upon your grace. And we depend upon your grace in this moment of need, in this moment that we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and we believe it and receive it in faith. Cameron, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. Be healed by the blood of the Lamb. Be healed because Jesus is Lord. I want you people to continue to pray for Cameron today. He's going to be having a procedure. This is a beautiful child. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. And we heard today from the Word of God that the Lord's face is toward us, that the Lord is for us, that the Lord has provision for us, that the Lord has greater gifts than the beginning, that the Lord wants to plow us and plant his seed. His victorious seed. And what is the seed? The Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And we believe that. We believe that. We believe that because our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Not only to Cameron, but to you. To you. He's faithful. Trust in him. He's faithful. Trust in him. I told you it's not easy, but it's sure. It's not easy, but it's sure. Trust in him. He is a our provision. He is the Lord. Listen, we're going to be praising God at the Holy Rosary at 1 o'clock today and tonight, 7:30 Mass, followed by Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Rosary in Winthrop. And for the 41% of the people that are unchurched, listen, come to the Holy Rosary on Saturday at 5:30 Mass, followed by a healing service, and Sunday at 11 o'clock. You're always welcome. The Lord looks toward you. The Lord has a plan for you. The Lord is faithful. The Lord wants to plow you and put His word in you. Provision, provision, provision is what He says today. I have provision for my people. Provision. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Even if it seems impossible, because nothing is impossible for God. Trust in Him. Today, 1 o'clock, come and praise the Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.